Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm here today with a very, very special guest, Kaylee Mylius, who is the founder of the Intentional Muse newspaper and a great dear friend of mine. Hello, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. It's so exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so excited to chat through business, creativity, all of those things, which are things that Kaylee has honestly helped me in my personal life with. She's just a great advice giver and friend. So I'm so grateful that you're on the podcast today.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to answer all of your questions and just to be in your energy. You're such a light for me too. So
Thank you. Well, with all my guests, I love to start with a little, I guess, icebreaker, if you will, of a rosebud thorn. So rose being something positive and exciting in your life right now, bud being something you're looking forward to, and thorn maybe something a little bit more challenging that you're facing in life right now.
My rose, I think, is going to be the fact that I got 3 library books yesterday. They immediately were ready for pickup. Any New York Public Library patron knows the struggle. Sometimes you're like customer 521 on the wait list, and it's like, you may be getting it next year. Yes, some of the books are like wild wait lists, which, great, we love to see people using the public library for their use. But also, it felt like a major win yesterday. So that's my rose. So my bud is probably going to be the fact that we just booked a week stay in the Catskills this summer. Nice. Anyone that has lived in the city in the summertime like knows that it's just a brutal slog. Yeah, like a hot, humid slog. And this is such a sanctuary. It's like on a river. We get to bring our dog. And I just look forward to like reading and eating fruit and like writing and just tapping into like that creative childlike summertime wonder. I think it'll be really nice. And then my thorn, I hesitate to say that this is a thorn because I'm so grateful, but I'm going to have to say, I'm working right now on getting the Intentional Muse into some wholesalers, and it is a journey, you guys, like anything in business. But as Jenny knows, it's just me with the Intentional Muse. Obviously, we have her incredible design work, but as far as any admin stuff or business side of things, it's all me. So it's like me meeting with the wholesalers, it's me meeting with contributors, it's every email, every DM, every collaboration. I am the forefront. All me, which is such an honor and a privilege, because I also get to accept like the compliments and the gratitude, which feels like such a gift, but it's also a lot. So I hope that that's something I can help, you know, outsource later down the road. But it's been a journey the last couple weeks. So I'm going to say that that has just been a thorn, just managing all of that.
Right. Well, I know you will get there. And I know, like you said, you can be so grateful, but it's also okay to acknowledge that things like that are difficult. And it's a challenge. It's a hurdle that you're facing right now. But doesn't mean that you won't overcome it. And I believe in you, and I believe in your mission. And as your newspaper designer, I'm just so grateful to be a part of this journey with you.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I think that's important to acknowledge. Like, something can be and. Like, it's incredible and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And it's also hard right now. And I think that that's really healthy to acknowledge. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I really appreciate your compliment. So thank you.
Of course, of course. I would say my rose and my bud are mixed in right now. I'm actually leaving tomorrow. Kaylee and I were talking about this. I'm leaving for a couple months to Europe for the summer, so that's kind of something I'm excited about, looking forward to. Thorn, similar on that, I guess, a little sad goodbyes, I guess, to the city for a little bit. It's been my home for so many months, since end of 2023. So, but I don't know, I'm being dramatic. It's literally only 2 months, but it's still sort of like, it feels like a transition time, and like my boyfriend's going to nursing school as well, so like he's leaving the city and I'm leaving the city, and I don't know. I feel like this spring I've been in a really great groove of building connections and meeting new friends. And again, similar to you, I'm so grateful for that, but kind of sad to be leaving as it's like building. But I know it's all good things to come and I'm excited. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And your friends and all your connections will be here waiting with open arms, ready to welcome you back with better weather.
Yep.
And I'm really excited for you, but I'll miss you.
I know, I'll miss you too. I'll be FaceTiming, texting, all of that.
Please.
Yes. So if you want to tell us anything else, you know, any more about yourself, who you are, some hobbies, and then we'll dive into more of the episode as well.
Of course. Hello, everyone. I'm Kaylee Mylius. I'm founder of The Intentional Muse, which is a print newspaper by women for women. Our aim is to help every person tap into their inner muse and live more intentional, artful lives. I always say we're like the newspaper of romanticization. That's a word that's really taken off. I think, though, that we definitely embody that. I live in New York City. I was born and raised, though, in Wisconsin. I went to high school in Arizona, nice. Stayed there through college, and then met my now husband. And we just flocked out east. I missed the water and I missed the green a lot. So we moved to Boston in 2019, and now we're in New York City and absolutely loving it. We live in Manhattan with our 10-year-old corgi Stabler, who is just he's like the light of my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been a crazy few years, but really excited to be here.
It's like you kind of had that whole background prepped.
Oh my gosh.
I have a routine.
Everybody that asks me where you're from, I'm like, okay,
let me roll it out. Yep.
Like, let me do my little stretch. I've been kind of all over, but.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love that. And I love that we have that Boston connection too, because many of these listeners know I used to live in Boston too. I went to school in Boston. So, you know, the Boston to New York pipeline is kind of real.
It's strong.
Yeah. It's strong. But yeah. So, moving on to what I want to talk about in this episode is a lot of like creativity and authenticity and finding yourself and grounding yourself, but kind of coupling that with the entrepreneurial side and the business side and finding the like marriage between the two, which I feel like is something you really embody and are doing so well. I'd love to talk about like what keeps you in tune with your creativity, and like, have you always been like this? Has there been a period of your time where you felt a little bit more out of touch with your creativity, and kind of how has that journey been for you in becoming the creative, authentic woman that you are today? Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, PIPOD, for 15% off today.
Oh, thank you.
I know that's probably a big question, but
no, you know, I'll try to break it down. But yeah, thank you. I need like a little Jenny in my pocket to like motivate me throughout the day. I would say I was always pretty creative. And I think that stems from having a very active curiosity. I always was questioning. I always was trying to make life look a little different. And I think that something that people do is write themselves off as like not a creative person. Mm. For me personally, I don't paint well. I don't draw. I don't make jewelry. I don't do a lot of the creative tasks my friend do. But I am creative. I write. I can look at a swatch of paint colors and know what will look best in my bedroom. I, you know, can step outside and go on a walk without my earbuds and notice things that inspire me and then turn that into a work of creation. So I think mm-hmm. that's something that a lot of people write off mm. when we're all inherently creative and we all can be inspired and find that inspiration not only outside of us but within us as well. So I think that that's really important. I think also it's really important to get bored. We are so quick to pick up our phones or hop on our laptop when we have a moment of boredom. But I think it's really important because that's so often when your most like creative thoughts or ideas come through. Mm-hmm. And that has definitely been a struggle for me. Like, I'm not, you know, someone that just doesn't have those moments. Like, I pick up, you know, my phone and scroll Instagram just like the rest of us. But I think it's really important. I try to make an effort to even like sit in my bed for 15 minutes at night and just let myself download like the day and have any thoughts I need to have. And I kid you not, like 98% of all ideas for the paper come through during that time.
In that 15 minute window.
Yes. And so that okay, this is also a hot tip because you can get it for like $15.
Okay.
I do not like picking up my phone because then I'm immediately distracted. So when I have these thoughts, I either keep a pad and paper next to the bed or I have now a voice recorder I will old school like record my ideas and then listen back to them in the morning and then, you know, kind of act on them then. So that's a tip. I think
I love that.
Yeah, thank you. It's something I started doing recently actually and it's been so helpful. Mm-hmm. I think something else I would tell someone to struggling, you know, with their creativity or feeling inspired is to follow the nudges, like follow the next thing that feels right to you. If you've been thinking about taking a sewing class or, you know, getting your watercolors out of that, you know, dusty cupboard in your living room, or, you know, maybe you want to practice your knife work in the kitchen. That's something that I really want to do. I'm really fascinated by chefs and kitchen work right now. I think do that because you never know where it will lead, even if it's just you feeling more inspired to do something else.
Mm.
And then lastly, when I am in a real creative funk, I restart The Artist's Way. And The Artist's Way is a book. It's really a tome by Julia Cameron. It's been around for many, many years. And it is a week-by-week guide helping you tap into your inner artist and really come back to that place of, like, full expression. And it is such a beautiful practice. We actually just did month one in The Artist's Way in a group, and it was such, like, a fun, cherished time and really helped me to get on track. And I think it's easy because it is quite the experience. It is quite the guide. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get off track, but I think it's kind of something that people just come back to like throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
yeah,
I'm back in The Artist's Way chapter of life, like restarting that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to start it and then pick it up again when it feels right either.
Yeah. Yeah. I was part of that chat and I haven't done The Artist's Way like whole journey yet. I still have yet to get the book actually, but it has been like top of mind honestly, and I feel like I love the point you said too about following your nudges and like that's sort of, I consider myself a creative as well, and I love being creative and practicing my creativity, but those like little nudges I feel like are so easy to push off and push to the side, especially nowadays, like if you work and you have a 9-to-5 and you have other, you know, friends to see and, you know, social media, relationships, whatever, there's always going to be something that you could make feel like it has to take up more prioritization than like knitting for 20 minutes or, you know, reading The Artist's Way for 20 minutes. So yeah, that really resonates with me. And I feel like I want to lean on to more of those nudges and put them higher up on my priority list. Cause I feel like nowadays it's so easy to push it lower on the priority list. That feels so like pessimistic and sad to say. And I kind of don't love that that's something that happens in my brain. I feel like when I have a creative project and it seems like it has sort of this end goal, that makes it easier to put it up on the priority list. But like you said, listening to those nudges and those quick little urges to you want to burst in some way creatively, listen to that, even if there's no sort of like external outcome or goal to necessarily be achieved.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone with that. I think that's how society has kind of been conditioning us to be, and that's really unfortunate. And I think it's more important now than ever to stay connected to that side of yourself, because I really believe that those nudges you get, it is your intuition like telling you like this is the next right thing, like this is the next step on your journey, or this is something that will creatively inspire you, or you're going to meet your new best friend if you just leave the house and do this. So I love though that you're like stretching that muscle and trying to tap more into that. I'm excited to see where it leads you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I feel like going to one of the papers the June issue is about play.
Yeah.
And I loved reading a lot of those articles about connecting to your inner child, and that's a lot of work that I've been doing too, and I feel like following these nudges speaks directly to that. When you're a child, you just play. You don't think about it. When you want to pick up a crayon, you do. When you want to color, hopefully not on the walls, on a paper or something, you do, you know? But there's no barrier, there's no filter, like, oh, this is a, quote, waste of time. Oh, I could be doing something, quote, more productive. Mm-hmm. But as we get older, that narrative switches so quickly. And yeah. I think it just takes a lot of more of an intentional effort to connect back with that little child in us and be playful and creative and listen to that. How do you practice that, like, in your daily life yourself?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm someone that really prioritizes creativity and following my intuition. That being said, it has been a muscle that I've had to stretch and really strengthen throughout my life. Mm-hmm. There have definitely been times when I've, like, faltered and maybe I haven't been as, you know, into flow as I would have liked. But I think it's as easy as, like, being kind with myself, with formatting my days in a way that makes sense to me and my best creative flow. So for example, you will not find me writing like an in-depth essay at 2 p.m. Like, it's either first thing in the morning or like 6 p.m. is when like my creative juices get going, and I know that about myself.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the day, maybe I'm doing social media posts, maybe I'm interviewing contributors, maybe like the other day I was just not feeling it, and instead of pushing myself to work, and obviously this is a privilege, I own my own company, I'm able to do this, but I left the house, I got a sub sandwich, and I read in the sun at the park for an hour, and that was my lunch. And if you can't do that, what can you do? What can you do from your desk? Like, can you take a 10-minute break and turn on a guided meditation? Can you take a 10-minute break and draw? Yeah, like, what can you do in those pockets of time? Can you get creative meal prepping your lunches if you love to be in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. I think it's really tapping into what you already do every day and then thinking, like, how can I make this creative? How can I make it fun? And how can I turn in sometimes these really mundane tasks into little works of art and bursts of joy? So that's been really important to me and has really changed my life, if I'm being honest. And I think that's something a lot of our readers get from the paper, is we talk about a lot about that and living more intentional but also living more artful. And I think that has been just one of the greatest blessings of connecting with people, is getting to share that and then see how it's changed their lives too.
I love that. I resonate with all of that, and I feel like what you said about using what you already do in your life and not kind of painting it to be this like big overwhelming project that you need to finish and create and start. Creativity is so beautiful in the sense that it doesn't need to be competitive, but it can so easily, whether it's within internally within yourself or around your other people, if you're surrounded by other creative people. But it's something that's so unique to you, and like you have to sort of affirm yourself and validate yourself that like what you're deciding to do, read in the park with your sandwich, for example, like that's your time for you and your creative endeavor that day. The next day it could look very different. That's definitely something I'm building in myself too, and just finding those pockets of time and not thinking, oh, I have to fill this with some extensive creative project right now, but something small, taking those small steps, counting the small wins, and, you know, like you said, strengthening that creative muscle. So key. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Something a friend did for us in this group setting. She hosted a collage party. I used to love collaging. I collaged all through high school. Like, my closet doors were like basically a giant manifestation boards before those were really a thing.
Cute.
And yeah, it was really fun. But I kind of got out of practice with it because I'm like, oh, I want it to be perfect. I want it to perfectly execute like what I want or how I feel.
Yep.
And of course, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But I went to my friend's collage party a few years ago, and she set a timer, and she's like, I'm going to give us 20 minutes to create these boards of just like artful inspiration. It doesn't have to, it can be whatever we wanted. Mm-hmm. And when the timer's up, glue stick, scissors down, we're going to tell everybody, you know, about our boards. And I, at first, I was genuinely, like, sweating. I'm like,
no, literally, I would
oh my
be
gosh,
too.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to find the perfect images, the perfect little quotes? Like, I'm already not, like, a physically expressed, like, artist type person, I guess. Mm-hmm. I do a lot more writing than I do things like this. So I was just very, like, off-put by that. But by the end, I swear it like broke something open in me. And I'm like, oh, I really miss doing this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't perfect, but it was mine. And I still got to express myself. And now I'm back to collaging. I love doing it. I don't do it for anyone but myself. It doesn't have to always mean something. It doesn't have to be a vision board or a manifestation mm-hmm. board or whatever. Sometimes it's just like shoes I like, or yeah. like, I don't know, like an image I liked that I wanted to like write on top of or draw on. And I'm, you know, no Picasso. It's not, you know, right. a work of art that they would yeah. hang in the Louvre, but it's mine and it's Who really knows? Special.
One day and someone will find it.
Yeah. You never know.
The archives of Kaylee Miley's.
Hey, manifesting that. Yep. I'm like, someday my coffee table book will come out.
You know? Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel yeah. like, and that's so important for just adults and as we continue to grow and mature. And if you have that creative spark in you, like, don't lose that. And it's so easy to lose it nowadays, but I feel like the timer thing is also something I've heard really good things about, and I've tried it a couple times myself. Creative projects can feel overwhelming if it's sort of like you don't know where it's going to end and you want to get into that flow, but giving yourself that time, it's like, okay, I have 15 minutes between this meeting and that meeting or whatever you have in your day, and it's giving you that sort of
like, it's giving you like a set time.
Yeah, it's
like
giving you a set time to get it done and yeah. express yourself creatively and without the need for it to be perfect and finished in any sort of way. It's like whatever you can do in 10 minutes, that's great. And that's your creativity yeah. that day in that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to say like F the timer, you can do that. Like
yeah.
you have the power to do that if you have the space in your day. Mm-hmm. But if not, and you're still like miserable 10 minutes in, you're like, I'm still stressed. Fine. Like you don't have to do it. Come yeah. back to it. But yeah. for yeah. me, that was really powerful.
So I want to talk about the Intentional Muse newspaper, which we have here in front of us. Moving on to that, because like I said, I love being the designer for it, and I feel like it's so amazing to gather all these works and thoughts and creative pieces of so many other women that you are the person to sort of bring that together. But I would love to hear more about like what inspired you to start creating this newspaper, and what has the whole journey for you been? I know you mentioned earlier in the episode it's been a bit of a challenge and a bit of a hurdle right now and sort of getting into wholesalers, but overall, like, where did this start and how did it come into fruition?
Oh, yeah. I'm so proud of it. And
you should be.
I feel like it has been just such a labor of love, and your work in it has made it what it is. I mean, you know, it's funny because we all have our own strength. Mm-hmm. I could never have designed it. Like, I could never have, put everything together and collected it and then formatted it in such a beautiful way. So I'm so appreciative of you, too. Nice. How the paper came to be. I'm going to try to make a long story a little abbreviated.
Okay.
But I owned a marketing company for 10 years, and I kind of fell into owning a business, if I'm being honest. I was a lifestyle blogger, so I always loved writing. Cool. And I started this lifestyle blog because I was at a very new time in my life. I had just started college, and I was kind of experimenting with adulthood for the first time. I was learning a lot, and I just wanted a place to like document what was happening in my life and share with others and maybe grow in community. This was years ago. This was like 2012 when I started. So okay. It was a long time. And blogs were kind of new. Social media was very new. We were all still like using the sepia filter on Instagram vibe and like documenting like our shoes on the sidewalk. And what happened was I had cultivated a really strong community through my blog, and I was on Twitter, and this PR assistant tweeted at me and was like, I love how you're growing your blog. I am assistant for a publicist in San Francisco, and she's actually looking for a social media manager. Is that something you'd be interested in? So perfect example of like putting yourself out there and just like trusting that the right opportunities will come.
Right.
I was working a corporate job at that time to pay for school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that social media managers like existed even at this time. Like, yeah. Hell yeah, I will interview. So I interviewed for that, got the job on the spot, was able to build a client base in a few months and quit the corporate job. So, and then I never went back to.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was very fast paced. But I kind of, you know, then built it into this larger marketing company where I was able to freelance copyright. I was able to do a lot of email marketing work. I was doing ad campaigns, kind of one of those things where, like, you name it, if it's in the marketing sector, I've probably done it. Mm-hmm. And then probably about 5 years in, I was really feeling the itch to connect with people in a greater way. I am an eldest daughter. I have two younger sisters, and they are like the light of my life. They're like my best friends. And I think that that's really shaped me in the sense that I always love giving advice. I have like a life coaching certification and all these things. And I really just wanted to like build a community and also kind of try to find people that would act as like mentors or almost like older sisters for myself. So I started this women's empowerment group with a friend of mine in college. It didn't last very long, if I'm being honest. And about a year in, I was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue and PCOS, which very much affected my health. Like, I was working 16-hour days. Something had to give. And, you know, the marketing company was the one paying my bills. So at the time, that is where I put in a lot of my focus, and I didn't really return to that sector as far as like the podcast I had and these events or like going back to any of that. So fast forward, it's 2022. My husband and I had just gotten married, and we were talking about just where I saw myself going. We do a lot of these, you know, like quarterly kind of checkpoints, and I created this yearly State of the Union system, which it's very fun. I love stuff like that. And we were talking about what we thought the next few years might look like for us. And I said, you know, I really wanted to give this business a fair shake. I want to help women in some way. I want to work with, you know, on helping people feel empowered. And I'm really burnt out from the marketing world. It was always its own a genius, but it was never its own a passion. And we were in a position where I had worked really hard the last few years to build the savings so I could give that a fair shake. So we went on our honeymoon, came back. Everything we owned pretty much was ruined. All of our stuff was in storage, was ruined. Oh so
it was, wait, how come?
It was in storage. So we, that was kind of a part I glossed over, but we really worked hard and were able to spend 3 months in Italy for our honeymoon. Still working a bit, but mostly just enjoying each other and having the best time. It was so special. But because of that, we had put everything we own in storage and said, like, let's just go have this, you know, new married adventure. And we came back, and there was not only a pipe that burst, which flooded the unit, but also a rat infestation.
Oh my God. So
it was
just very humbling. Was anything like salvageable?
A few things were salvageable, but we had to work to restore them if we really wanted. Wow. We had also just gotten married, so a lot of our like heirlooms that I had planned on keeping for years and years were ruined. It was definitely a lesson, and like things are just things.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it was really difficult.
I bet, I bet.
But all that to say, we had to use a lot of the savings we had built toward rebuilding our lives, really. Right. Yeah. So talk about unexpected, because there was a whole issue with the insurance company we had used. That's a long story for another day. But so it took a little longer than was planning to get this company up and running. So last year, The Intentional Muse had been an online publication on Substack at that point for about 2 years. And I knew I wanted to make it something larger. We were in a better place. I was taking on less freelance copywriting, although I still do some of that on the side. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to grow this. I really want to take my community offline and like just connect with them in this deeper way. So I started brainstorming ways to do that. And in addition to hosting in-person events, I noticed something really interesting, and that was that young women, women my age, women, you know, a little older, were on the train reading newspapers, reading magazines, reading books. You can't see it. It's off screen, but I kind of keep, like, the print media industry alive. I have, like, a huge stack of magazines and newspapers and all sorts of print materials. I've always really loved it, and I'm like, oh, people are also loving it and like turning back to that. Although I've never really left. Mm-hmm. And then this article came out, I'm sure we've all read it by now, about how Gen Z is really on, like, the dumb phone trend and how they want phones where they can just, like, text and call. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, cool. Like they're going back away from iPhones. Yes,
kind of like the phones that I had in high school. Like, right. Where you just, like, you can't access social media or the internet or what have you. So I'm like, oh, that's really interesting that other people are really wanting to get off their devices and, like, you know, consume off screen. Yeah. And my friends and I at that time were having a lot of conversations about how we're trying to stay off our screens more. We just feel, like, very suffocated by everything that we're constantly bombarded by. So I said, you know what? Like, I've been wanting to do something in print with my writing. Let's try it. And within 3.5 months, I had found you as a designer, which I'm so grateful for. I had found our first round of contributors. I experimented many times and found a great manufacturer now that we use. And by January, we put out the first paper. So it was really quick. It was down and dirty. It's a lot of learning as you go.
Yeah.
But it has been so fulfilling. And I think a lot of the time we give our power away. And I think the wellness industry has been so commodified and selling us, oh, we need this and that and the other thing to be healthy, to be well, to be happy.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe that. I think there's a lot of things that maybe fall into that more luxury category that I love just because it's fun for me and I like experimenting. I'm kind of like a human guinea pig in a way. I by no means think we need any of those things. I think we as humans have everything we need within ourselves. And it's my greatest work to help spread that message and help people live their lives more intentionally and more artfully so that they can be happier and more free. So that's kind of how the Intentional Muse came about. And it's been, it's been a journey. And the people that love it, love it. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for everyone that has contributed, whether it's, you know, their time in mentorship, their writing, their paintings, their illustrations, their recipes, their poetry. Like, it boggles my mind every day that I've worked with such incredible women, incredible people to get this paper off the ground. So that's a bit about us and how we got started.
And I love how, sort of speaking back to the creativity piece we were talking about earlier, you showcase so many different representations of creativity, whether it's writing, whether it's drawing, whether it's cooking, whether it's, I don't know, you know, some more obscure, abstract form of creativity. I just love your representation of different kinds of women and different kinds of creativity in the newspaper. I mean, I know you said it was quick, but it seems like you've had this thought and this vision for yourself for a long, long time. To anyone else maybe feeling the same kind of way, they have an idea, they have an entrepreneurial energy to themselves, but just don't know where to start and kind of make that first step, what advice would you give to them?
Like Nike said it best, just do it. I feel like we're always waiting for something to be perfect and beautiful and like exactly like we picture it in our mind's eye. I'm that way, at least. I wanted it to be like, you know, this perfect representation of what I had in mind. But I think done is better than perfect. Launch it and pivot as you go. That's something that has taken me very far in life and in my other business as well. And I also think, whether you're starting a business or you've, you know, you've already started a business or a passion project or whatever it is, I think my piece of advice would be to keep going, especially when it gets hard and you've spent like 4 hours creating the social media post in Canva or something and you're like, great, I got 4 likes, or the sales aren't what you wanted, or you're feeling like whatever it is just isn't being received the way you had imagined. We all want to come out to that, you know, huge celebration and applause, but I think that's when most people quit, is when they feel like, oh, well, people just don't like it. Or like, oh, well, people just aren't responding well. Or like, okay, it's time to quit. No, keep going. Because if you keep going during the time when most people quit, you will come out on top and your business will be successful. And you will feel so happy and so rewarded if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And if you believe in your mission, you will reap that reward. And I also think our culture is so obsessed with like this big break story. And I think that that's just most of the time completely fabricated, if I'm being honest. a lot of the time when you hear these stories about people that got these huge breaks or incredible opportunities, it's never like, oh, well, I was plucked from obscurity, and then this person taught me how to do this, and then I made my first seven figures, and it's just been amazing from there. Like, no, it is never like that.
Yep.
It's usually, I, you know, learned how to do this. I was really passionate about it. I kept learning. I kept practicing. I kept taking risks. I kept telling myself it would be okay. I picked myself off the ground when it got hard, and then I met the person that changed it. And then I went on the podcast that, you know, launched my product to a million people. Yeah. And then I got that PR feature. And then I got that investor. So I think that that's something personally I really try to focus on is, like, I'm in it for the journey. And I'm going to try the hardest I can on this journey while remaining aligned and in flow and healthy. And trust that the people that are meant to find the intentional muse will find her, that I will receive the support I need. I just have a lot of trust in that.
Yeah, I love that. And that's so key. I mean, trust, whether you're starting a business, going to a new school, embarking in a new relationship, like, if, you know, that self-trust is the only thing that can maybe ground you through moments of so much ambiguity and uncertainty, and, you know, things aren't working as planned. Doesn't mean you need to give up. Just trust that it'll, you know, continue. That's really good advice. I'm taking notes myself mentally as well.
And in terms of business too, I think another thing is, we talked a bit about this off air, is don't be afraid to fail, and fail fast and fail forward. That's something I've really taken away. I had a client years ago who taught me that, and I just said, like, oh, that's so, I don't know, insightful to me, because I was always thinking, oh, I want to give the best piece of myself. I want to deliver the best work. I want people to see the best in me. But if you're not taking risks, then you're not failing, or you're not, you know, discovering new things about yourself or your venture throughout the way, you're probably not taking any real risk. And that's just not the nature of business.
Right.
So I think keeping that in mind is really important too. And knowing that you will fail, or I don't even really love the word fail, if I'm being honest, but you will have those little missteps maybe, or things that are misaligned for you, and that's okay. Yeah. We can pick ourselves up and move on and learn from it.
Yeah. My mom loves this quote. I forget who said it originally, but it's something like, you either succeed or you learn. You don't fail.
Yes.
So it's like, if you quote unquote fail, that's always just a lesson. That's just a learning lesson, whether, okay, maybe I will never do that again, or maybe I need to tweak my strategy a little bit here, tweak my process, or maybe I never work with that person again. You know, like, it's not a failure, and it's so easy to quickly define it as a failure, and it's like, okay, hands up, never doing this again. But I love your mentality and mindset, and I think that's something I really try to embody with myself. And, you know, as people with maybe a little bit more perfectionist type mindsets, it's very hard to feel like, when something doesn't go your way, it's just a lesson, it's just a stepping stone. It can sometimes feel like the whole process is flawed and you need to make 100% shift, 180 shift, but that's just not the case. And it's like, failing is learning. Failing is taking that next step. It's guiding you towards where you're meant to be at the end. Amazing advice. Thank
you. You're so welcome.
We're getting towards the end of the episode, but I would love to hear one habit or ritual that you have in your own life. I know we talked about earlier how you sort of ground yourself in your creativity, but what's something that grounds you just in general when you're feeling sort of disconnected or overwhelmed, or, you know, gets you through those tougher days?
I think I would say going out in my community. Community for me is so important. I think that's why it's just perfect that I live in New York City.
Yeah.
Because when I'm in a funk, sometimes it is hard for me to, like, want to leave the house or get out of the apartment or whatever it is. But say in the morning, if I'm in a funk and I go and walk my dog, I talk to two people on the street. I see a woman, I compliment her green jacket. I think, oh, her jacket's such a vibrant green. I should write an article about, you know, dressing like the woman I want to be. Oh, I'm going to my bodega on my way upstairs. I'm getting milk. A conversation with my bodega guy that I love sparks a lot of joy for me. I go upstairs. Suddenly my energy has shifted. So I think for me, just getting out of my own head and getting out of myself is so important and vital. And I think a gift that you can give yourself is finding inspiration in those smaller moments, and also even if, you know, you're in like a more rural area, like, oh, can you notice the color of a flower? Is that inspiring you? Is like the way the breeze is blowing and you hear different sounds, like, what does that inspire within you? Can you take a few deep breaths outside? I think that's all very important. So I would say that for me.
And stepping just outside and experiencing the world and the people around you.
And like getting outside of yourself, I think volunteering, which is so important, which we didn't really touch on, but I'm very passionate about that. And I think that's something too that can inspire so much, is like, get outside of yourself. When you're too in your head, it doesn't help you or anyone else. So what can you do to help someone else and, you know, kind of have that mindset shift?
Yeah, I love that. That's so important, you know, and I feel like self-care is a big topic and keyword, but another big part of self-care can be caring for others and giving to others and, you know, helping others. And I think that can equally be as much of a self-care as a solo day and spending time on yourself and caring for yourself in that way. So
totally. Something we talk a lot about in the paper is the concept of community care.
Yeah.
And how important it is to care for our communities. And I think that's kind of something culturally that we've gotten wrong, is this individualistic mindset. And of course we need to take care of ourselves, of course we need to nourish ourselves, of course we need to put our oxygen mask on first, but there's a larger conversation to be had about how we help those in our lives and in our communities, and I can go on about that, but it's definitely something to think about. Part two of the pod.
Oh, I love that. Well, where can people find you? Where can people get a hold of this wonderful newspaper?
I'm just gonna hold it up here.
If you're not watching the podcast, I'm holding up the May issue of the Intentional Muse called Inflow. 20 beautiful pages of images, articles, illustrations, quotes, affirmations, all the amazing things.
All the things. I think there's a quiz in this
one.
All the things.
Yeah, the fun quiz. Loved it. Loved it. So yeah, where can people find it? And where can people find you if they ever want to contact you about the newspaper or just questions for your wonderful self?
Thank you. This has been such a joy. I love getting to do this with you. I want to do this every day. Well, people can get the paper at theintentionalmuse.com if they use all caps and code Jenny Muse. So your name and Muse. Amazing. They get their first copy completely free. It will ship directly to their doorstep and they'll be able to hold the paper in their hands and read the pieces and take in the beautiful design work that Jenny's worked so hard to cultivate. They can also follow The Intentional Muse on Instagram at The Intentional Muse, and they can follow me personally if you'd like to connect. I would absolutely love that. My Instagram and TikTok are both at Kaylee Mylius, KAYLIMYLIUS. Yeah, I'm always happy to answer any questions you may have about the paper, personal, whatever it may be. I'm really just honored to be in community with you all.
And I will put all of Kaylee's links and the promo code as well for the newspaper in the show notes below. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put it in the description below as well. Thank you so much, Kaylee, for coming on the podcast. I really and thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and taking mental notes, like I said.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you all for watching. It was so much fun to be on and get to spend time with you.
All right. We'll catch you all in the next episode.
Bye.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.